for those that are new this morning, we are in a study of Colossians verse by verse. We go through the scripture verse by verse often because we want to get everything we can out of it, and we want to help the people of God grow. And it's better than for me than for jumping from hot spot to hot spot. I personally, if I have to come up with something every week that I feel is going to be have a little bit of extra sauce to it, I worry for myself at this stage of my ministry as to why, as to how I can do that without hurting the people of God. I don't want you to put your trust in me and my hot take on the world. I want you to put your trust in the Word of God and what it says. And so that's why we do it. Now, occasionally we do veer from that. If I feel the Lord has put something on my heart, I can say, you know what, that is something I know God wants us to talk about. I do that. But otherwise, I just stick with that verse by verse, and it's been very helpful to me. I spend more time not stressing about what to preach, but stressing out about what is God saying right here. And so that's the reason why I do that. For some, it's different, but I know for myself it's helpful, and I hope that it's helpful to you. As we enter the last 12 verses of Colossians, there is a distinct shift from otherworldly, heavenly places down to human relations, and then it moves to instructing people how to handle their interactions with one another, and then it goes to personal affirmation or correction or observation. Paul goes from talking about Jesus Christ and how we are seated in heavenly places in Christ, and he comes all the way down to where we live every day. And then he talks about people that he knows personally. And he's just as concerned about maintaining his personal relationships with the churches as he is in espousing high-flying theology. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's no reason to have a church without the things that he talks about in chapters 1, 2, and 3. But on a practical level, Paul is talking directly to people. In fact, the most high-flying things that he says in chapters 1 and 2 point in this direction in chapter 4. The mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, has great application for where we are on a daily personal basis. And what's interesting, the last 12 verses of Colossians talks about people exemplifying or not showing how Christ is working in their lives. So it's not just a, oh, P.S., by the way, but by the way, by the way. It actually is a funnel that leads down to there are people who are implementing these high-sounding ideals that Paul is talking about, that he received from the Lord. There are people that are actually doing this stuff. And it's working. And he begins with a guy named Tychicus in chapter 4. We'll see that in just a moment. Paul goes from, if you will, the thinker to the friend. He goes from the ethereal to the real real. He goes from the cloud land to the dirt, where we are, where we all live. The question is, can we in our day, can we in our church hold the thinking of great high thoughts? And they are high thoughts. When you're talking about the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and that he created all things and all things are held by the word of his power, that those are big thoughts. In fact, the idea of what holds things together is very important. It's the reason why we're scared of war with Russia, because it is the exploding of the atom that we all fear. But Jesus Christ holds all things together by the word of his power. He is the one who holds the atom together. So those are very big ethereal things, but they have very real world consequences. The question is, can we take those great thoughts and can we bring them into personal care for one another? If we can't, then we have to ask how great those thoughts actually were. There is a connection between Christ and me. It is Christ in me. And that is the single most amazing thought I've ever had that the God of the universe wants to be inside of me. You'll spend the rest of your Christian life figuring it out. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not much of a seamstress. I can sew a little bit. And I have put on a button before, and it was pretty awkward and it was pretty unwieldy. But I'm not a good sewer. And yet that is kind of what Paul does at the end of some of his epistles. He starts to sew people together. He takes people that are with him in Rome and other friends from around Asia Minor, and he starts sewing them together with the people in Colossae. And it's because one string you can easily pull apart, but the more that you add, the stronger it gets. It's amazing how quickly you will not be able to rip a button off a shirt if you put several strings, several pieces of thread around that thing. And that's what Paul is doing here. He is in this closing greeting at the end of Colossians, he's stitching together his group of companions, the people that were around the prison and even in the prison with him, and he's bringing them in connection with the guys that are in Colossae. Guys that he's never been able to visit there, and yet he has a kinship with and a love for. Aristarchus and Mark and Jesus Justice and Epaphras and Luke and Demas. All these people are mentioned, and he writes a little bit about their stories, and we'll see that in some of the succeeding weeks. Let's begin reading in verses 7. We'll read down to verse 9. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, he was from Colossae, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So Tychicus and Onesimus are traveling back to Colossae to visit the church and then to return to Paul with a report. And the reason is Paul is concerned with how the Colossians are doing. Epaphras, you remember, Epaphras came from Ephesus to visit Paul in Rome, and he said, we've got some difficulties going on at this church. Paul had never been to Rome, but he knew Epaphras. Most likely he was led to Christ by the Apostle Paul or someone with Paul in the city of Ephesus. And then he went back and started a church in Colossae. Paul, because he just couldn't stop serving the Lord, he ended up in prison in Rome. Epaphras leaves Colossae, comes up to Rome and says, hey, here's some difficulties we're having. And then he goes back. Paul says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a letter to the Colossians and I'm going to send it by the hand of Tychicus. Epaphras is already gone. He said, I'm going to send it with Tychicus and I'm also going to send Onesimus because that's where he grew up and he ought to be going back there because he was a runaway slave. And he said, I'm going to send them back and I'm going to send them that report. And then I intend for you guys. And at the same time, it appears that he also dropped off the letter at Ephesus. And then they're going to come back and they're going to tell me what's going on in Colossae. And this shows us, by the way, how much of the word of mouth was done in that time with Paul. So he wrote down things of doctrine, the things concerning the faith and the practices of the church. But the practical, how am I doing, well-being, how's the release coming, the appeal to the emperor, all that stuff, that was word of mouth. And the personal details were left to the guys who carried the mail, like Tychicus. Let's talk about Tychicus. Who is Tychicus? Well, interesting, the name I don't understand, but it means casual. It means by chance. If it were me looking at a guy who has a name by casual, it would be a guy who was just rolling with it. He was just a nice guy. Everybody liked to have him around. He was a great guy. He was from the province of Asia and maybe from Ephesus. Who knows? But he accompanied Paul when Paul originally went from Corinth to Jerusalem. Remember when they brought that offering down to Jerusalem from all the different places. And Paul solicited support from these various churches. And the churches, it was kind of like a vacation, so to speak, like a ministry vacation or a ministry trip where they all came together, and several of the churches would send their representatives to go with Paul and to head down to Jerusalem. And Tychicus was one of those guys who went with Paul originally down to Jerusalem. And he came at some point and visited Paul when he ended up in prison in Rome. We don't know how long he was, and he was not in prison, but he was able to still connect with Paul. And here Paul is entrusting Tychicus with a very important mission. This guy had never met the Colossians that we know of, and he's being sent by a man who had never met the Colossians, the Apostle Paul. But the underlying purpose of mentioning Tychicus here is not just to introduce him, because here he comes, he knocks on the door. Hi, my name is Tychicus. Who are you? I'm here to find out how you're doing, and I'm going to go back and tell the Apostle Paul. Well, that would probably not be the best way to introduce yourself. So Paul writes down in the scripture here, this is who he is, this is his resume, you can count on this guy, you can trust him, and that's what he was giving with Tychicus when he went down there. But there's something else that the readers were being instructed in, and that will be the thrust of our message today. Really what Paul is saying is that Tychicus is coming to find out how you're doing, and I want you to know how I'm doing. That's the outside, but the inside is this. Paul is seeking to connect their lives together. He is saying, hey, Colossian believers, there are people outside of Colossae who love you and want to know how you're doing, and we want to pull you together in unity. That's the underlying message. Paul is sending Tychicus as a liaison. He's saying, if I could, I would come, but since I can't, I'm sending this guy. This man is me. I am sending him here to help you. I want to know how you're doing, and I want him to tell you how I'm doing. Who was he? Well, he was a man that Paul could send with confidence on these missions. He was a man that Paul trusted. He was a man that he trusted to encourage the saints. God desires for believers to unite together by developing trust in one another and love for one another, and to have mutual accountability to one another. What made Tychicus qualified to be this guy? Now, I don't know about you. It would have to be a very specified person that were to come to me and say, I'm here to check up on you, and I'm going to go back and tell somebody that you respect how you're doing. And oh, by the way, he wants you to know how he's doing. There are not very many people that I would trust, number one, to even be the guy that's checking up on how I'm doing. But number two, to be the liaison, to be the assistant, to be the messenger boy who is going to have to ask questions, who is going to be taking notes, who's going to be looking around and maybe checking the cabinets and saying, let's see how many silverware you have in the drawers. I would say, Tychicus, let's just get this straight. You're not God. You're not the Savior. And you're not the Apostle Paul. We don't even know who you are. So why don't you relax? Why don't you just sit in church and maybe you'll learn something here? Maybe you'll get something from the preaching. Tychicus, though, was a man who had a specific mission. Now, I'm not a big fan of new situations where I've never been and I don't know what's going on and who's in charge and what are we doing and how's this all going to work. I have done a lot of that in my life. I grew up traveling around. But it's not something that really very many people enjoy. And can you imagine the awkwardness of Tychicus showing up at the Colossian church, and the awkwardness on both sides, both for Tychicus and for the Colossian believers? I would say, if I'm Tychicus, I'm showing up and I'm saying to the Colossian believers, hey, the Apostle Paul wants to know how you guys are doing. He sent me here for you to check up on to see how things are going. Isn't that what he said? That I might know your estate. And Onesimus is going to do the same thing. They're going to tell me how you folks are actually doing over there. Now, this brings an uncomfortableness in our minds because if I'm Tychicus, I want to say, just so you guys know, this is not me. This is not me. I don't even want to be here. I don't want to. I don't even exist. I'll just sit in the corner. And can you imagine? I think the average believer would say to Paul, no, I'm not going down to a church that I've never met and ask them how they're doing and tell them how you're doing and to seek to find out what's going on at the church. But that's what Tychicus' job was. What qualifies a man? And let me say further, before we talk about his qualifications, Tychicus agreed to do this. And Paul felt strong enough in sending Tychicus to do this. And there's no record of the Colossian believers losing their minds as a result of Tychicus coming. There's no mention of a problem in the church because Tychicus came. You know what? You'd have to be a very special operative, highly trained, in order to pull this thing off. Because on one side, you've got a guy who is really smart, the Apostle Paul, who knows a lot of Scripture, who met Jesus Christ personally, and in the desert, and trained by him, and he's really, really good, expert. You got that guy. And he's asking me to do this, and he's trusting me with this job, and so I feel like, okay, I'll do my best. But I'm not you. And why me? But okay, I'll do it. And on the other hand, I'm going into a place where not only have I never met the people, the guy that's sending me has never met the people. And I'm supposed to stand up there and shake hands with people and find out what the vibe of the church is. You ever gone to a new church? You ever feel like you're on the outside? Anybody? Come on. You're like a tiny little nod will help. It can be uncomfortable. And then you think, well, I don't want people to think I'm great. But then you don't want to apologize for yourself because then you don't have a personality and nobody wants to get to know you anyhow. And so you're trying to figure out, how do I fit in this new scenario, right? Do I walk up and I'm like, hey, brother? Or do I stand humbly and fold my hands on the side and someone will see my humility, they'll know that I'm humble, and they'll come over, hey, are you that humble brother? Right? Like, how do you thread this needle? And here's another question. What gives Paul the right to be checking up on anybody? Doesn't he understand? I'm speaking sarcastically here. That I don't need anybody's help in my Christian life. I don't need you to even ask me how I'm doing. It's none of your business how I'm doing. Americans are great with their privacy, but what's weird about it is they give all their information freely to social media, Facebook, and then they complain about anyone trying to get their information. It's weird, isn't it? You know, that seeps into our Christianity, too. We spill our guts to some people, and then over here we would never think about opening up to them. Now, how is that possible? It's possible because as humans, we have fears, we have concerns, and we also have really big needs. Social media is one of the worst things that ever happened to our culture. And I'll tell you why. I'm not saying you got to get off of it. I'm not saying it's horrible to sin. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's one of the worst things that ever happened. Because it simulates what we need, but it doesn't actually provide what we need. The metaverse, for instance, Facebook, metaverse, or whatever they're called, Meta. It simulates a universe, but it's not actually, and I'm sorry to tell you this, it's not actually a universe. It's a computer program. It simulates that you have friends, but they're not really friends. Why? You wouldn't have the guts to say to that person, to their face, what you freely type on the internet. It's not really real. There's fears on there. People look bigger and stronger and prettier and richer than they actually are. And what's worse? That's why we're doing it. So that we appear richer and stronger and bigger and smarter and We're going on so many vacations. We take so many family pictures. It's, you know, it's tough being so good looking. Right? Or people, I don't care about that. But they tell everyone every thought that they ever had in their life. Real time. Feeling a little down, feeling better. Back down. Right? No one cares. No one cares. Well, they should. You cannot care for that many people. You can't. Imagine how many friends, let's say you're crazy and you have 100 friends. 100 people. You could not talk to 100 people meaningfully in a day. There's no way around. There's no way to. You have to pretend. Right? So what I'm talking about is this ability to interact with people has actually been made worse by fake interactions with people. What we need to understand is the Bible is a book written by a real God to real people in real time. Real time. He's written it to you and I and where we are. Not a fake interactive secondary universe that makes everything seem different than it really is. Paul is sending Tychicus to real people who are living in real time in Colossae. And that requires a very specified individual, a highly qualified person. What would possibly qualify, and I don't think Tychicus is the only one. Paul sent lots of people. But what would qualify Tychicus to be able to be that guy who comes in, "Hey guys, I'm here." And to connect with them in such a way that he actually knows how they're doing, encourages them, and then goes back and gives a report. Well, I'll give you the reasons that the scripture gives. Number one, in Colossians 4:7, it says that he is a beloved brother. He's beloved. What does that mean? It means he's greatly loved. He is dear to the heart of Paul the Apostle. In order for Tychicus to be a true representative of Paul, he had to have the same heart that Paul had. He and Paul shared a kinship of spirit. He stood by Paul in the face of danger. How many friends do you have? Not how many people are you obligated to say that you are their friend. By the way, in friendship, there's not a whole lot of obligation. Sometimes you'll hear people say, "Well, I just wish my friends were this," or "I wish you would be more of a friend," or "I thought we were friends." This is going to sound harsh. A friend doesn't say things like that. A friend doesn't say, "I thought we were friends." Am I right? A friend knows that you're a friend. You may not talk to that friend every day, but you know that they feel the same way about you as you feel about them. There's no coercion, manipulation. There's no leverage that's needed in friendship. Now, the Bible says, "He that hath friends must show himself friendly." Sometimes we say that if you want friends, you need to be friendly. And that's certainly true, but that's not what the verse said. The verse said that he that hath friends must show himself friendly. If you have friends, you should be friendly. You should be nice to your friends. You should care about them. But a real friend is not someone that's constantly saying, "Why don't you be my friend?" I'll tell you why. Because of what you just asked me. Listen, nobody needs someone that's hanging on, always, wanting more, sucking the very life out of you. Come on, can't we hang out? No, we can't hang out. I would if you didn't have that nasally voice. I can't believe. Okay, I'm sorry. But you know, I'm not saying that we don't have saying that we don't have a need and an obligation to reach out to people. We absolutely do. But you can't force people to be beloved to you. You can't force people, and someone can't force me to feel a certain way about them. It's not going to happen. No matter how much you want it to be true. And so when Paul says Tychicus is a beloved brother, May I remind you that their relationship, their positions are not equal. Tychicus is a free man. Paul is in prison. And at that time, he's in prison because of his faith. Now, I don't know about you, if you've ever been incarcerated. I hope you haven't. But many people have. I have friends who've been incarcerated. I hope you're never incarcerated for your faith. Maybe sometime there's a possibility that you could be. But I would say this, whether or not you're incarcerated for doing wrong or for doing right, it would be an amazing blessing to have a friend who is still your friend. Still your friend. My friends have done a lot of things that they shouldn't have done. And I've done a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. And it's amazing that I have any friends. It really is. I got a lot of people that I follow on social media or they follow me. But friends are really rare. Now, you're right. I probably should have more. And I could say if I had invested more in those people, we could be closer. But the truth of the matter is, friendship just kind of happens, doesn't it? And here, Tychicus was a beloved brother. And one of the ways he was beloved is because he stood by Paul in very difficult times. A friend doesn't approve of everything that a friend does. A friend doesn't reward or sanction everything that his friend does. But a friend is faithful. You know what he said in Proverbs 20:17? It said, a friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now we understand that doubtless refers to Jesus Christ. But some of you would say, I've got human friends that are closer than my siblings. They are connected to me. And may I ask you this morning, how many of those people are believers? You know, if you have friends and you connect on with Harley Davidson or you connect with, you know, Scentsy or whatever it might be, you're like, that's your thing. That's fine. But imagine being a friend where the thing that connects you is Jesus Christ. You love that guy. You love that girl because that person loves Jesus Christ. Do you have friends like that? That's the kind of friendship that goes even beyond this life. That's the kind of friendship that Tychicus had. Tychicus here is the personal envoy. The personal envoy of Paul. And why? He was a personal envoy because he was a beloved brother. D.L. Moody wrote in his Bible, it is said, he wrote, a true friend is like ivy. The greater the ruin, the closer he clings. You know, when you read Paul, sometimes you see that he was sad and maybe even sometimes a little bitter, just a touch of bitterness where he would say things like, all men have forsaken me. I'm left alone. Only Luke is with me, he said in one of his epistles. And the people that forsook him were people that agreed with him, the people that believed in the gospel. You know what happened is when the heat got turned up, Paul found out who his real friends were. He said about Onesiphorus, he said, he oft refreshed me and he was not afraid of my chain. Have you ever had a friend that did something that you couldn't agree with and you wondered, should I still be his friend? Should I still call her my friend? Well, I'm not here to tell you what to do or not to do with your friends, but I can tell you this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, is one side, and then a friend loveth at all times, is the other side. I would say this, you should be a friend to that person. You don't have to condone. You can say, I don't agree with what you're doing, I'm not going to participate with you in that, I think you're wrong in that, and by the way, it's not much of a friendship if you've never told your friend, I think you're wrong in this. It actually takes a little bit more depth of maturity and character to say to someone that you love, I think you're wrong in this. Has anyone ever done that? It's not easy. Sometimes you have to do it. But on the flip side, If you're waiting, if your friends are easy to abandon when they're not doing something right, and you are a turncoat, you immediately forsake them and run from them, it makes me wonder, what was your friendship based on to begin with? Was your friendship based on them making you look better? Or was your friendship based on the fact that you had mutual understanding and care for one another? This is the kind of person that Tychicus was. He was a beloved brother. The Bible says also that he was a faithful minister. A minister is someone who acts upon the authority of another. A minister is an agent acting for a superior. So you have people in the Bible like Joshua, who was a minister for Moses. You have John Mark, who was the minister of Barnabas and Saul. You have Elisha, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. As someone said, he was everything for Elijah and the kitchen sink. He literally poured water on Elijah's hands. This is the kind of man that Tychicus was. He was a man who was trained and skillful in helping other people. Paul knew that Tychicus was a guy who could get the job done. He was faithful. He was faithful. What kind of man would dare to come into a room of people he'd never met before and start making friends and try to find out what's going on in their lives? The kind of guy who was a good friend. A man who knew how to interact with other people in such a way that they learned to trust him and love him. A man who had training and skill. And a minister is not so much an office, but it is a function in Scripture. Someone who ministers. And then thirdly, he said, he's a fellow servant. This has to do with his attitude. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. Matthew 20, verse 25. Tychicus is a fellow servant. Paul said, we both work for the same master. We both work for the same master. In chapter 20 of Matthew, verse 25, but Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. We have here a man who is prepared to humble himself in order to help someone else. Prepared to, in some cases, put himself in a place of vulnerability, feeling ill-prepared, feeling unwanted, perhaps, but he focused more on the fact that he was being sent. And in doing so, he actually was proving to Paul that he was a fellow servant. He was humbling himself to an unknown, a strange experience and saying, I will go and do what makes me uncomfortable because you asked me to do it. Are there people that you would ask to do that in your life? Are you willing to be that person for someone else? God is intending for believers to develop mutual concern for one another and love for one another, to trust one another to the point of accountability. Paul is sending Tychicus. This man is ready to care. He is ready to share. He is ready to sacrifice. He is ready to comfort. You see, the Christianity is not just a set of beliefs. It is a treasure in an earthen vessel. We have an opportunity to literally show the love of Christ to other people. Our culture is It is no different than any other culture in the fact that all people want to eat, they want to sleep, they want to procreate, they want to enjoy themselves, they want to have a good time. We all have that desire. Everyone has across the world. As in America, we have an opportunity maybe a little bit more than most to indulge ourselves in those things. We're greatly blessed. We have a lot of opportunities. But the danger of those things is that it causes us to think, that's why I'm here. I'm on this planet to get what I want. I'm here to make myself feel better. The amazing thing to me about Tychicus is that he caught the spirit of a guy like Paul, and he humbled himself and said, I'll go in your stead and I'll do it to the best of my ability exactly like you want me to do it. But I'll tell you, that's the reason why you have grown in your Christian life. You have moved from where you started as a believer to where you are today because someone has been a faithful minister to you. Someone has been a fellow servant for you. Someone has been a beloved brother. They've come alongside of you and they've said, I care about you. I accept you. And I will do what I can to minister to you and encourage you. I will pray for you. And I'll go even further than that. I will serve you. I will place myself in a subservient position to you. Why? So that you can grow, you can move forward. You know what, Hope Baptist Church? The Lord has that same role for each of us. There are people here in this church that God wants you to become a beloved brother to, a beloved sister. Someone, when they think about the love of Jesus Christ in a person that they know, they think of you. God wants you to become that. Why? There are people here that need that. You say, well, who is it? I don't think you can force it. But I think you can be open to it. I think your eyes can be wide open. I think your ears can be open. I think you can walk around, you can observe, and you can see people, and you can say, I wonder how she's doing. I'll go and introduce myself. You don't have to walk up to her and say, I'll be your beloved sister. But may I tell you, that's not the only option. Another option is to place yourself in a vulnerable position where you say, hi, my name is so-and-so. I don't know that I really know much about you. I haven't met you before. And you are able to interface with them as far as the conversation goes. But in your heart, you're praying, Lord, help me to show love to this person. I don't know about you. When I come to church, my main thought is, what am I going to preach? I've got to say something. But then I often think about that. Oh, I did my job. Whew. You know what the Lord wants more from me than that? The Lord doesn't want me to just come to church and say, I did what I did. That's what I have to do, or that's what I'm supposed to do. And that's I'm done. I come in and I hear the word and I go out. Hey, listen, without the word, we have no reason for a church. That is very true. We need the word. But you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to mutually benefit one another. He wants us to talk to people. What we typically do is, and there's nothing wrong with this, we typically connect with all the friends we've always connected with. But if we do that every service out of the year, how will we ever be able to be used like Tychicus? Someone who was sent away from his comfort zone. Someone who was sent away from his beloved leader, the Apostle Paul. Someone who was sent away on a mission in which he probably felt some trepidation. And yet he was willing to go. And when he got there, he wasn't saying, look, hey, Paul, hey, I want you to line up one by one and tell me what's going on in your life. All right. Okay. Paul's going to love to hear this. Thank you. All right. How did he do it? He came in and he probably came in and said, hey, where's the water fountain here? You guys serve coffee? How long have you guys been here? Like, he starts asking them questions. He starts connecting with them. And then they start opening up to him. And it's not long before Paul is learning about what actually is happening. Let me encourage you. If you're thankful to God for how you got here, someone was a faithful minister, someone who is a beloved brother, someone who is a fellow servant in your life to bring you. Maybe God wants you to do the same thing for everybody else. Some people say, well, I want to preach. I want to be a minister. But minister does not always refer to preaching. Minister is doing what a superior asks you and doing it from a professional, voluntary standpoint. I want to do that. I want to be a believer. You know what some of you could do as a ministry here? Be nice. And many of you already do that. There's lots of them. And it's not that you're either proactively nice or you're a jerk. It's just that sometimes when we come to church, it's more about what I'm getting, what I want. And just if we were to take some time and think about who was there for us when we were just getting started. Who pulled us in close and put their arm around us and said, hey, you guys want to go get a bite to eat? And you remember how you felt? Yes. You mean I can go get a bite to eat with somebody that's not going to get drunk by the end of the meal? You mean I can go and we don't have to talk about junk? We can actually talk about the Lord. We can talk about the things that we heard in the sermon. We can talk about how God's working in our lives. Or we can talk about the garden that we're going to plant in the spring, or our kids are going to school or whatever. But it's good Christian fellowship around the believers. And it's not like a lost person who has no hope. We can actually encourage one another. We can strengthen and help one another. Who wants to be a Tychicus here? Now, I'm not telling you, and I want you to understand something, church. I'm not telling you we don't have those people. We've got lots of those people. But there are times when we think, well, I'm just waiting on someone to ask me. Someone to ask me. Let me encourage you to realize that Tychicus was these things. That's why he got asked to go to Colossae. He developed these characteristics. And so he was sendable. He was usable. Well, I wish I could get used. Be usable. I guarantee you're going to be one of the solutions that's thought of. God is going to have a way of putting you in a place where you can be used when you make yourself usable. That's Tychicus. He was the personal envoy of Paul. You see, Paul was looking for a two-way report. He wanted to say, I want to tell you how I'm doing, and I want Tychicus to tell me how you're doing. Now, we understand that talebearing is expressly forbidden in Scripture. But it's not talebearing what Paul was asking Tychicus to do. It's not gossip. It's an honest report. It's something that people know about you, whether you told them or not. It's something that they know. That helps us to understand what Paul is looking for. He's looking for that love and that trust, but he's also looking for mutual accountability. It's not that Paul is saying, you better behave. What he's saying is, you ought to have love for one another. You ought to have care for one another. And I just want to send somebody to check on how your love and care for one another is coming. You see, it's not just that Paul wanted to know that the church was still going forward, that people were getting saved. He wanted to know how the believers were interacting with one another. Why? God wants his children to love one another, to trust one another, and to be accountable to one another. Believers are supposed to intentionally develop mutual concern and love. And believers, it is because people have done that for you that you are here this morning. If you go back in your life, in your mind, you can think about the people that have done that. What would it take for you to be like Tychicus? Do you know how to minister? What is ministry? Ministering is giving to someone what you have been given yourself. Ministry is me acting on behalf of God to be a blessing to someone else. That includes giving out the gospel. That includes helping in the nursery. That includes making a meal for someone. That includes teaching someone. There's all different ways to minister to people. Do you know how to minister? If you know how to minister, would you say that you're close enough to someone to be considered a beloved brother, a friend, someone that's trustable, someone that people will talk to and actually share with? And then a third thing, which is challenging, are you willing to be used to bring a report and to seek a report? Now, this takes a long time. This is not something that you introduce a relationship with. Hi, my name is John. I will be checking up on you. No one wants that. But believers, I truly believe that accountability to one another is an important thing. And over time, that develops naturally. But you know, it's okay for you to say, I haven't seen so-and-so at church for a while. I think I'll call them and see how they're doing. You know, I haven't heard from so-and-so. I wonder if they're sick. I wonder if they're not feeling well. You know, sometimes it's a sad tale that we tell because the truth is we were all there just for ourselves and we didn't realize it until the person is no longer there. And when they're no longer there, we say, well, I guess they couldn't hack it, or I guess they're gone, or we think the worst. Maybe they don't like me anymore. They don't like our church. And we get fearful. I believe it is one of the marks of a mature relationship is to be able to reach out to someone and truly inquire out of love how that person is doing. Is that the kind of relationship that you have? I think too often I failed in my relationships. Because I think, well, they're doing fine. If they had any problems, they would reach out to me. But then I find sometimes in the back of my mind, there's room for those little shadows to grow. I'll bet they're probably not doing right. I'll bet they're not. Their heart probably doesn't beat as closely to the Lord as it used to. But I'm not willing to call them and find out how they're doing. Why? Because really the relationship was more about me than it was about them. Paul had a way of uniting believers together, and he did so through genuine sacrifice, concern and care, with a touch of accountability. He wanted people to know, we're all going to be together in heaven, right? We're all united in the body of Christ, and we ought to work together to mutually support one another, love one another, to keep track just a little bit of how one another is doing. God's looking for Christians like that. Christians like Tychicus, who are willing to subject themselves to a vulnerable place, to go and continue being the person that they've always been, but now with a little bit more of a mission, to come back and tell Paul. And what's amazing is as Tychicus took that parchment and tucked it into his satchel and hopped on the ship with Onesimus and they headed to Colossae, that little letter that he took with him, we're still reading today. That connection that Paul sought to make between Rome and Ephesus and all the churches there in Laodicea and over to Colossae, that connection bore fruit. And though those churches no longer exist today, we are a direct product. We are the descendants of those people. Today, we sit here in a church because someone was a beloved brother, someone was a faithful minister, and someone was a faithful servant. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning.